The views expressed in this program are not necessarily the views of this station, its staff, or management. KQAL Winona tries to bring you quality programming on various topics and issues. For more information on this program or any other program aired on KQAL, please send a written and signed letter to KQAL-FM, 234 Performing Arts Center, Winona State University, Winona, Minnesota, 55987.
Today we introduce you to comedian Nathan Timmel, who has toured the Winona and La Crosse area. He is a man of many different skills and is very funny. A family man, a supporter of the troops, and more. Today's interview does have adult themes. We're going to talk about parenting, we're going to talk about infertility, and there's sprinkles of adult-themed comedy. Please be aware. I'm Terry Tenseth, presenting you with a midday break, right here on KQAL. Hi, I'm Terry Tenseth Market. I have comedian and writer Nathan Timmel with me, and also podcaster, weekly podcaster, to talk about his line of work and about his new book, It's Okay to Talk to Animals, which you wrote about being a parent, a first-time parent, correct?
Yeah. It's in book form, but it's actually not a book. It is a book. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's letters to my daughter. There's not really a narrative arc to it. I took a year out of my daughter's life from when she aged from 1 to 2, and every week, since I'm a comedian and I'd be away from home, I would sit in my hotel room and write her a letter and tell her where I was, what we did that week, or if we didn't really do anything interesting. I would talk about my life and a lot of times where I made mistakes in my life, hopefully, so that when she reads this, maybe in her late teens, early 20s, she can avoid some of the pitfalls I did, I fell into. So it's a book, but it's letters. It's letters to my daughter, but it's not called that. It's called Okay to Talk to Animals. So,
at what point did you start the whole process, and how long did it take you?
I started the process roughly on her first birthday, August 8th, 2013, and finished it August 8th, 2014. So it's 1 year's worth of letters, and I started it because my wife, basically it was my wife's project idea, and she pawned it off on me, because that's how marriage works is, I think she was online or saw something where someone wrote a letter to their child, and she said, oh, that's a really great idea, you should do that. Except instead of one letter, you should just do it a lot. So she gave me a lot of work. And yeah, that's how I got roped into it.
And for your process, I'm guessing since you're on the road so much, maybe you had to tape some of this and then transcribe it?
No. I generally only wrote in hotel rooms or in Panera Bread. Like, I could think about things in the car, but I don't generally, like, sometimes if I have a joke idea, I will tape it. But this, it was easier just to sit down and sort of vomit the words out and then edit them and clean them up. So it's not like I had any flashes of brilliance where I would have to record it. Like, oh my God, I really need to write that sentence. I should record it so I don't forget. You know, it's just a process. I would sit down and, you know, since it's all real, since it's nonfiction, I don't have to worry about inspiration, if that makes sense. I'm not trying to create a fantasy world or science fiction or think of an amazing third act. Since it's real, I could just sit down and write, and I wouldn't have to remember anything, you know, like you say, point of the moment where I might have want to record something brilliant.
How does this differ from you sitting down and using reality for your comedy acts?
It doesn't, because it's the same thing, except I don't write my comedy act that. I'll have an idea, and I'll get on stage, and I'll say it out loud. And if the audience laughs, I'll keep it. Or if they smile, I'll tweak it until they do laugh. But I guess the process is different in that this, I would sit down and write, and my comedy, I never write. I just, either something happens and I have an idea, and then I flesh it out on stage. Or whereas this one was, you know, something happened to me and I would write it down.
Right. Now, how long have you been doing the whole comedy writing podcasting thing?
Podcasting, a year and a half. Writing, since I was 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, and then comedy, God, 13, 14 years, maybe 15, I don't know. I don't keep track very well of much. I don't know timelines. I was reading the recent interview with Jaden and Willow Smith, and I'm going to go with their answer that time is an illusion. So I'm not gonna say I have a bad memory and don't know how long I've been doing things. I'm gonna say that, like Jaden Smith, I can control time and that it's an illusion. Did you read that interview, or am I just
I haven't read it yet, but now I'm going to totally check that out.
Yeah, all of your listeners should. It's amazing, these brilliant kids. Oh, they're so annoying. I generally try not to hate kids because, you know, it's their parents' fault for raising them poorly. But when you read this interview, and when your listeners, if they haven't yet, read the interview with Will and Jaden Smith, you're like, no, I hate those kids. I hate them. They're obnoxious little spoiled rich kids. So,
oh, too bad.
So I just made a reference that nobody gets is the whole point. Right? Okay.
So what is it that you enjoy about comedy, and what is it that you enjoy about writing?
Comedy, I enjoy the immediacy. You know, right then and there, whether or not you've done something works or fails. You open your mouth, you say it into a microphone, and the audience responds or they don't. So that's very addicting. It's a very nice feeling, and you don't get that in much else. Like, you make a movie, you film it for 3 months, and then it goes through an editing process, and then they add a soundtrack, and then they promote it, and, you know, opening night, you find out whether or not the movie works, and by then you've moved on to your next project. But this is, it's live, it's right there in your face, and audiences let you know whether or not they like you in the moment, and I really enjoy that. And writing, I enjoy because, I don't want to say it's the opposite of comedy, but comedy, I have to be funny. It's my job. When I'm on stage, I better say something funny so that the audience laughs. That's why they came out that night, to have a few drinks and to just feel good and giggle. I use writing as a different outlet. I don't feel I have to be funny in writing, so if I have something I want to say, but I know it's inappropriate for the stage because it's not hilarious, then I can get it out through my writing. I can tell a touching story or just an interesting story that doesn't have a punchline to it. So it's, you know, that I don't want to say yin and yang and sound pretentious like that, but just two different things, two different sides of a personality.
And tell us about the podcast.
That I do with a comedian in New York named Jake Vevra, who is slightly insane. He is an Iraqi war vet, possible PTSD, I don't know, but also a comic, and his brain works on an entirely different level. So it's nice because I play the straight man in the podcast, and he just goes off on insane tangents, and it's my job to rope him in. So every week, our tagline is part comedy, part politics, completely stupid. So every week we pick sort of a topic, something that might be in the news, usually involving politics or religion or pop culture, and go from there. So we don't really go in with any set agenda. Sometimes I spring the topic on Jake. Sometimes I give it to him like 5 minutes beforehand. But, you know, it's very free form. We don't sit down and write out, what are you going to say? What am I going to say? We have a very good natural flow back and forth. We feed off each other very well.
Where can people go to hear the podcast?
Everything is from my website. You can download it from iTunes. We have Idiots on Parade is what it's called. It's called Idiots on Parade, the Too Ugly for TV podcast. But instead of remembering that or trying to go to iTunes and find it, or on Podomatic, it's in a lot of places, but the one-stop shopping for everything, for podcasting, over an hour of YouTube videos, access to all my books, is my website. So I don't know if you can hear the cat meowing in the background, NathanTimmel.com. That's it, so T-I-M-M-E-L.
Well, you're a true...
Nathan Timmel.
You're a true family man. You got the pets, you got the kids that you're taking care of during the time you're not on the road.
We got a dog and a cat, and when my wife and I decide it's time to do marital things, get naked, maybe, the dog goes in the kennel, and the cat sits on the dresser and watches and judges, because that's what cats do. I don't know why he likes that, but the cat's always there on the dresser. Well, I'm not sure what you two are doing, but I don't approve. We're married. This is baby Jesus sanctioned. It's okay. And he's like, no, I'm not too down with that.
So you've been touring around the Midwest. You were recently in La Crosse, Wisconsin, hoping that you get a chance to come back to Winona and the area again soon. But I guess you're
going to
be back.
Visit Winona. Yep. I had a lot of fun there when I was there down in Big Bubs.
Big Boobs. Yeah,
I always say bubs because I'm trying not to be dirty, but it is big boobs.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll be back in La Crosse in April.
Excellent.
Of 2015.
And that'll be at Piggy's?
No. Or will this that? One is at, it's not there. I can't think of what it's called. Like the River Jacks, maybe.
Okay.
River Jacks sounds
yep.
right.
That's a good comedy spot for
La Crosse. It's been going there for years and years and years.
Yeah. I think it's Friday nights as well. So my guess is you're probably going to be at River Jacks on a Friday night in April.
That sounds right.
That's great. Now, Lydia, your wife, she's also a writer, correct?
She's a blogger. She, 2 or was it 3 years ago, she had the top infertility blog. She was named one of the top 10 infertility blogs in the U.S. because we struggled to get our first child and then discovered we needed to get both our children. I have a son and a daughter. We used in vitro fertilization, and there was 2 years of fun trying to get to that point where we tried natural methods and then tried injections and then inseminations, and nothing was working. So all that time she was writing and blogging, it became very popular because I would talk about it on stage, too. I would make jokes, and it's very interesting when she would blog and write how much traffic it would get. And when I would say on stage that we're having problems with fertility, how many people would approach me after a show and say, good luck, we went through the same thing, we finally got a daughter, or we finally got a son, and very heartbreaking, people that would come up and say, yeah, we tried for 10 years and then had to quit, we couldn't afford it, or we just gave up. So it's, you say she's a writer, and she is. She blogged for a long, now she talks about being a parent and the same thing, and it's, but she really reached out and touched a lot of people when she was talking about her infertility issues and how she felt going through that, because to quote from her, to steal her words, as a woman, she said she'd been told her whole life, if you have sex, you'll get pregnant. If you have sex, you'll get pregnant. Always be on the pill, use a condom. And then when she has sex and is married and doesn't get pregnant, it was very sort of shocking to her. She didn't feel like a complete woman. She felt like a letdown, like, oh my God, I thought that I was supposed to be able to make babies. And it really upset her, and it was very emotional for her.
And then now you two are blessed that you were able to have two children so far.
I don't want to say so far. I want to say done.
Okay.
I want to say we have two children, period. Exclamation point, maybe. There's no comma, semicolon, colon. There's nothing that finishes that. That's, we are two and done. And, yeah, we blessed by medical science. Thank you, whichever doctor came up with in vitro fertilization, because you rocked our world.
Well, I think that's what makes the book even better, is kind of knowing that little backstory.
And I think I talk about it a little in there. I talk about the struggles we had. My daughter came first, and she was not meant to last. I'm not going to go into detail here because it's boring to talk about, and I'm able to flesh it out and make better sense of it when I'm writing, so you can read it. But you have a chart of, I'm not sure what to say, peaks. You're supposed to hit certain limits or whatever, and say whatever those numbers are, 1 to 100, you know, you go in for a test, and say the minimum number is 25. Well, my daughter was a 10, which means, okay, she's not going to take. You hear this, you can't be kind of pregnant. My wife was technically kind of pregnant. Everybody said, okay, you're pregnant, but not really, because the minimum is 20, and you're not hitting that. You're halfway there. So everybody expected it not to work, but after, you know, the days go by and it's still, she's falling short in the numbers, and then suddenly she exploded, and 9 months later, we have a beautifully healthy, she didn't come out small for her size, she didn't come out, have to go into an incubator. It was just insane that she went from something that wasn't supposed to survive into the healthiest of babies, in the top 95th percentile for height. She's a very tall, big, healthy baby. And that's gone into detail and better explained in the book. And then there was a miscarriage scare with my son, which we talk about when I write to her and say, dear, you know, there are several letters in a row where we say, we don't know what's going on. Mommy's bleeding, but, you know, our fingers are crossed. And then that obviously turned out for the best also. So we got lucky twice.
Excellent. See, knowing those things, that's great. You also have another book that you wrote a couple of years ago out as well.
Yeah. That was called I Was a White Knight Once, and that is more of a memoir. That was me talking about my life and how I became a comedian growing up, moving a lot as a child. My story is no different from many other comics. I moved 10 times before I was 10 years old, which means I did not learn a lot about friendship or any friends I did make, I would lose. So, like many comics, I began to use comedy as either a weapon or a shield or self-defense mechanism. You know, I move into a new location and, hey, I'll be the funny guy so, you know, I can make friends that I'll lose when we move again. And then from there, the memoir goes on to discuss being able to go to places like Iraq and Afghanistan and perform for troops. And I got very good feedback on those chapters. People enjoyed hearing about me traveling around Afghanistan. And, again, troubles I went through in my life, failed relationships. Everybody loves reading about those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Misery loves company sometimes, too.
Well, and because that's exactly it. There are people that, and I read several memoirs, half dozen, before writing mine or while writing mine, and I would see people that would talk about so many relationships and say they met five people and this was my soulmate and we were going to get married, but it didn't work. And I just limited it to one chapter. I'm like, okay, this gets redundant. So you just take that and you focus it in one chapter so it doesn't become a running theme of romantic failure. And that way it's compacted and it's not overbearing. And then people, like you say, misery loves company. People can relate to it. I had people saying, yeah, I went through the same thing, or I felt the same way, or yeah, I had those emotions, or I was in a failed relationship, and you helped me work it out in my head why some things don't last. That was the point of my memoirs, to compact everything, to just talk about segments and move on, not just drone on one subject for the entire length of the book.
Well, no, it can get kind of tiresome, like you said. After a while. And you need uplifting things, too. You need a good balance.
Yeah. I read celebrity memoirs. I won't name them, but yeah, there were a couple that were Hollywood people that just, like, and I would lose track. She'd be like, oh, and then I met John. And John was like, what happened to Mark? Mark was in the last chapter. He was your soulmate. You were going to, you never even fit. Like, they would tear through so many people that I would lose track. And I knew I didn't want to do that because I've been in several relationships, but I didn't feel the need to write down each one. Like, okay, after this one didn't work, let's talk about the next one, because you get it. Some relationships don't work. Let's sum those emotions up and move on with life.
Now, all your books are available for digital download, correct?
They are. The two big ones, I have two main books, It's Okay to Talk to Animals and I Was a White Knight, and those are both paperback and Kindle on Amazon, and then White Knight is also on the Nook, and then I have a slew of mini books. I was inspired by the Kindle single, if you've ever heard of that. It's like a short little 99-cent book. It's something that's more like an essay.
Gotcha.
You know, and so I wrote a half dozen of those. I wrote all nonfiction about my life. I did substitute teaching for a while, so I wrote about that, what it's like to be a stand-up comic doing substitute teaching. I had one story about going to Iraq that didn't make the first book, so I put a little 99-cent book there. And those are both available on the Kindle and Nook, and they're very cheap, 99 cents, little slices. So go there, take a gander at one of those, and if you like them, buy the big books.
Now again, it's nathantimmel.com, T-I-M-M-E-L is what it is.
Yeah.
And
I would like to say this. I see a lot of books where the paperback is $19.99 and the Kindle version is $15.99, and I've never understood that. So my paperback, because people don't know me and I want to get them to buy my book, only $10, and then the Kindle version's $5, you know, $4.99, because I don't understand why sometimes people release ebooks that are just as expensive as the paperback. You've got no overhead, no production, so, you know, charge less. So
yeah,
people really want to take a chance, download a Kindle book version.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you taking the time.
I appreciate your time.
You bet. And I know you got a Facebook page, too, for Nathan Timmel Comedy. So
I think it's just Nathan Timmel is my comedy page.
And
I'm on Twitter, and I've got a YouTube page, and I've got an Instagram, and I've got
Tumblr,
and I, you know, it's social media. You got to be everywhere.
Oh, man.
I don't have a Pinterest, though, because
thanks
I don't
again
have a
to our friend Nathan
comedian,
writer, and podcaster.
And you also
more information on Nathan Timmel can be found at www.nathantimmel, that's TIMMEL.com.
I'm Terry Tensa, like
and you've been listening to our midday break here on KQAL.
Always fun to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Hopefully, I will see you in April.
Yay! Thank you.
Thanks again to our friend Nathan Timmel, comedian, writer, and podcaster. More information on Nathan Timmel can be found at www.nathantimmel.com. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you've been listening to our midday break here on KQAL.